Very thankful for that. Amen. Amen. You do realize that that many churches, even around us, I know I speak from my experience up home, but I'm sure it is that way here. Many churches around us, they do not have enough people to have any musicians at all. They would be very fortunate to be able to have somebody to lead a song because they have declined and are in a state of demise. And so that ought to make you thankful tonight for what God has done at Liberty Baptist Church, the talents He has placed here. None of this is of ourselves. It's all of Him, and we thank Him for that. Bring it that taffy there. Somebody laid some taffy here on my the pulpit up here, and it's prepackaged, so I would eat it. As long as it's not that stuff's been made in one of those windows and storefronts in Gatlinburg, we're good with it. Amen. All right, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Amen. The book of Hebrews. We are very thankful that you're here tonight. And again, it's very true what they say. They say, look around and see who's here on Sunday morning, and you'll see who loves the church. Look around and see who's there on Sunday nights, and you'll see who loves the pastor. But look around and see who's at church on Wednesday nights, and you see who loves the Lord. Don't tell the Sunday morning crowd I said all that, okay? What happens here on Wednesday night stays here on Wednesday night. We're thankful for everybody that comes to Liberty. Each one that attends each of our services. Very thankful for those of you who come Sunday night to our kickoff on Life for Life groups. I pray that you kind of know what to expect, what's going to happen, what's going to take place on Sunday nights. If you were not here Sunday night, please plan on being here this coming Sunday night and jump right in and become part of a life group. We still got some kinks to work out and some classes to kind of get broken up and settled, and we're going to do that in the days ahead. But it's a wonderful kickoff. I appreciate each of you that have been faithful to be a part of organizing that and being leaders and so forth. We had 123 here Sunday night. And so I don't know how many, Brother Allen, you had in your class Sunday morning, but you add that to it, and that's our total for the educational hour on this past Sunday. So it's good to see those 123 here. Glory to the Lord. And in Life Group, it's all about making disciples. And so that is one reason tonight that we are in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to do a three-part series on how to study the Word of God. God has laid this on our heart. I realize that many of you are avid students of God's Word, that you are in the Word of God daily and so forth, and you have for many years, maybe all of your life. I think about Sarah's grandmother, her Bible, which I'd seen it before she died, but after she died, we got to take a good look at it, and literally every single word from Genesis to Revelation had been underlined. She had read every word over and over and over many, many times. Some of the words were underlined much more than one time, but along with all of her notes and all of the things God had spoke to her, and she had wrote in the Word of God in the margins, but she had underlined every word indicating where her fingers had traced and read and soaked it in. So some of you are like that. Others of you maybe not so much so, but one of the things I want to do and I felt that the Lord had on our heart is we want to make disciples at Liberty Baptist Church. That's going to be our heart's desire. And when we become disciples, when we get in the Word and become disciples, then we become a deeper church, and a deeper church is a stronger church. And that's what we want to be in this day in which we live in. We live in dark times, and I want you to understand that the body of your brothers and sisters in Christ that surrounds you here at Liberty Baptist Church, they have needs in their lives, and they will have needs in their lives, and you have needs in your life, and you will have needs in your life, and you need somebody that is a deep disciple, somebody that is strong in Jesus and in His Word, to stand beside you from the body of Christ, from your church family during those times. The only way we become deeper and become stronger as a result of our deep walk is by studying the Word of God. We do live in dark times. We were talking about this round of elections, and not just this round, but for many years now, there is such a disparity between the parties anymore. They're not even close on what they believe and where they stand on issues. There's a great, great divide. We live in dark times. And Franklin County lives in dark times. And because of that, then we need to be a strong church. And a strong church is a church that is deep and walks with the Lord in a very deep way. And so we're going to look at how to study the Word of God tonight. But look in Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, there are some verses in the Bible that you should underline and highlight that you need to have memorized. And you're not too old to memorize Scripture. You can do it. It's a matter of repetition. So remember Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. My, what a powerful text that is. And you need to keep this in mind. It's quick, it's alive, in other words. It's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And this verse reminds us of Ephesians chapter 6, that Ephesians 5 and 6 is that warfare section of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1 and 2 speaks of the believer's wealth. Ephesians 3 and 4 speaks of the believer's walk. Ephesians 5 and 6 speaks of the believer's warfare. But in Ephesians 6, that's where we find the armor of Christ laid out and listed out. And to suit up with the whole armor of Christ. And piece by piece, that armor is mentioned and worked through in that text. But it's interesting that one of the things Paul says is, and pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword being the only offensive weapon that is mentioned in the book of Ephesians 6. Everything else is defensive in nature, but the sword is not only our defensive weapon, but it's also an offensive weapon. So the Word of God is very powerful, and it's very important that you and I, that we become students of the Word as individuals. Now, you've got to decide right now, are you going to be just an average Baptist, or are you going to be a deep disciple of Jesus Christ? Because here's what the average Baptist does. The average Baptist takes his Bible and sticks it under his arm and carries it to church on Sunday morning. And when he gets home, he lays it down again until next Sunday morning. That's what your average Baptist does. He comes to church and he expects his Sunday school leader or life group leader or pastor to feed him something, and feed him something good from the Word of God, something to satisfy his appetite, and that is all that he wants for the rest of the week. And he doesn't touch the Word of God until he comes back the next week. That's your average Baptist. So you need to decide, are you going to be an average Baptist, or are you going to be a deep disciple of Jesus Christ? And one of your prayers, as well as one of my prayers, is that God would give you an insatiable desire to feed upon the Word of God. I had a friend of mine, a preacher friend. He pastored another county over from me, almost two counties over, but another county over, and we met about once every 2 weeks or once every week, and we would eat lunch, and we would share burdens and share special prayer requests and pray for one another, share our struggles in the ministry and things like that. And one of the prayers that I requested he pray for me, and it became a mutual prayer for one another, is that God would give us an insatiable desire to be in His Word and to glean from the Word of God. That has become my prayer in recent days for myself, and I see God beginning to do that. See, what happens to us is that of flesh and bones, we tend to drift. We've talked about this before. When left to ourselves, and the natural man, he just drifts away from God. And so we are constantly having to correct to bring ourselves back into the will of God and walking with God. Well, I pray for you, Liberty Baptist Church, If you're here and you're not one of those people who are just in the Word and have that insatiable desire, I pray tonight that God will begin to awaken in you a desire for His Word and that He will give you an insatiable desire to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you. That's what's important. And let the Word of God walk, which will make you a stronger believer in Jesus Christ. So let's look just if we will tonight at some things the Lord give me on how to study the Word of God. Again, this is going to be for three Wednesday nights. We will look at how to study the Word of God. So to begin with, I want you to, number one, and there's 10 of these that God give me, but I'm going to move quick. I'll only spend a minute or two on each one. Number one, I want you to know we need to approach the Word of God humbly. We need to approach the Word of God humbly. Why? Well, because this is how that we approach God. We approach God humbly. We don't approach God high and mighty. So when we approach His Word, we come humbly. Why? Because we must recognize that what we hold in our hands as we hold the Word of God, that it is inspired, inerrant, and infallible. It's been God-breathed. God is the author of that book. 40-some various writers, 40-some instruments that God used to pen His Word, but there's only one author, and we must know that it is the absolute and final authority from God to man. And so when we approach the Bible, we are approaching the Lord in His Word, and we approach authority with humility. So number one, we approach it humbly. In fact, the disciples of Jesus were very clear on this. Peter said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Peter, who was once full of pride himself, but he had been broken and brought low in failure, and the Lord restored him and lifted him up. And he always recognized that and remembered that, and you'll see it in his writings, but he mentions to humble yourself under the hand of God. James mentions that we need to humble ourselves in the sight of God. And so I mentioned in our life group Sunday night, the one that we had in the basement, that often on Sunday mornings, or as long as it's not raining, but I'll walk across, and on Wednesday nights, I walk from the parsonage over to the church. The grass is wet, and of course I've got on shoes. The girls and Sarah have got on open-toed shoes and all that stuff. You ladies know all about that. You can't get your feet wet and all that. But so I make that walk, and I do it for a reason. Because when I leave the house over there and I come to this church, as I walk across that parking lot, I take those 2 minutes maybe that it takes me to get here, to get my heart and my mind in the right place. But one of those places I know that I need to be is that I need to be in a spirit of humility. And this humbleness that God would put such a great church right here on this property in Franklin County, and that God would let me even be a part of that, and just a small part. I mean, with what God's been doing around here lately, I would just be happy to be the bell ringer there where you come in the door or to hold the doors. So I'm thankful for what God is doing, but I want my heart to be in the right place. So when we pick up the Word of God, we can't grab it and march in there full of pride and arrogance like we're trying to prove something to somebody, but it is with a spirit of humility that we take the Word of God and we open it up and we begin to study. That's number one. So number two, we need to approach the Word of God prayerfully. This first lesson on how to study God's Word, it's really dealing with our approach to the Word. So number two, we approach the Word of God prayerfully. I can't imagine trying to get in the Word of God and not do so without approaching it prayerfully. And so what do you mean prayerfully, preacher? How do we approach the Word of God? Well, when I open up the Word, my prayer always is, Lord, I need to hear from You. I need You to speak something for me today. I want to know what You have to say to me. I sat down yesterday at lunch and I grabbed my Bible and laid it out in front of me, and before I even opened it, that was my very prayer. Lord, I need a word, and I'm going to trust You to lead me to a word. And I opened to where the Lord had led me, and sure enough, a clear message from heaven God had spoke to me about. So we always approach the Word of God prayerfully. Now, I will say this too, in the way of our prayers, and every time you pray, and certainly in every prayer of mine, and you'll probably hear it as I pray in this church over and over and over, but in every prayer I pray, particularly when we go to the Word of God, our prayer ought to, an element that ought to always be included in our prayer is forgiveness of sins. Lord, forgive me of where I failed you. Forgive me of where I have not done what you want me to do. And daily, we go daily for cleansing to the fountain. And he is gracious, according to the Word of God, and faithful to forgive us of our sins if we confess it to him. And so we take away any transgressions. We put it under the blood of Jesus. And that way, there's an open line of communication as we open the Word of God. And so God can speak to our hearts so freely. Now listen, men, let's do this. The next time you and your wife have a little, let's see, what do you have around your house? A little heated debate? you have a disagreement. How about that? That's more diplomatic, and we can be hypocrites if we just say those nice kind of words. The next time you and your wife have a little argument, how about this, men? How about you don't make up, you don't say I'm sorry, you don't say I shouldn't have said that. How about you just go in with her and just sit down right beside her, in front of her, and you just try to go right on like nothing's ever happened. Like you didn't say anything wrong or you didn't do anything wrong, like you had no part of it, and you just try to carry on. Does anybody kind of guess how far that's going to go? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's not going to go anywhere. You're going to have to make things right. And when you get things right, then you can pull up beside her and things will be sweet. And that's the way it is with the Lord. So we approach the Word of God prayerfully. Number three, we approach the Word of God reverently. We approach it reverently. Listen, we've got to remember that when we hold the Word of God in our hands, that we are handling exactly that. That it is not just any old book, but it is the Word of God. And so we've got to handle it very reverently and realize that as we handle the Word of God. I remember one time seeing and reading about letters from previous presidents, even, you know, Abraham Lincoln particularly is what I was reading on, and letters he had written and how they are so preserved and so taken care of meticulously and how they are in these airtight containers. And so forth to keep them from deteriorating, and how they're really just treated as sacred because they are from a former president of the United States of America. And I thought, boy, how much more reverently should we handle the Word of God, that it is God's Word. And that's one of the things that sometimes bothers me about certain translations of the Bible that are indeed not translations at all, but they're just kind of what a man thought the Bible says, and he put it in his own words and threw it out there, and it's just so carelessly handled. But this is the Word of God that we hold in our hands, and so very reverently we are to respect that. But we are to approach this also relationally. Number four, relationally. Now, let me show you something. Sometimes when you, particularly for those who are a student of the Word, sometimes if we're not careful, we go to the Word of God just so we can uncover some hidden truths or hidden facts, or so we can dig out some good gold nuggets, or so we can discover some wonderful surprise in the Word of God. But listen to me. We need to approach the Word relationally. And that means this. We need to go to the Word of God just because we want to spend time with Jesus. Because we want to spend time with the Lord. I mean, it's great when we go to the Word and God gives us some nuggets. It's wonderful when we go and we have those aha moments and we get in the Word and we find something. We go to a passage we've read over and over and over. And suddenly one day we go to that passage and there is something we've never seen before. And we're like, why have I seen that before? It's because the Word's alive and it's powerful and it's living. So there are those times. Those times will always happen when we're in the Word. And those are wonderful times. Those are discovery moments in the life of a believer when he's in the Word of God. But the main drive that ought to, as we approach the Word of God, one of those approaches ought to be relationally. Lord, I'm here just because I want to spend time with you, because I want to be with you. And then the Lord will open up His Word to you and I. So, number five, we also ought to approach the Word of God systematically. Systematically. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to deal more with this next week. But you ought to have a set system, not to make it impersonal, but you ought to have some kind of system in which you study through the Word of God. I won't go into it too deep because I'm going to save this for next week. But I just want to say this, if you're just sitting down and holding your Bible in front of you and saying, okay, God, I'm here to study your word. I'm here to get in the word. Wherever it falls, it's where I'm going to read today. Whoom. Okay, you can do that, and God does speak like that at times and so forth. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, at least you're in the word. But here's the thing. If that is your system, you probably ain't going to stick with it. You know what I'm saying? And the reason being is when you got some, when you systematically study the Word and you got a place you're going to, a set way that you're getting in there every day, then when I already know tomorrow, this is how I'm going there. This is how I'm approaching it systematically. And so you got a place to go to. But if you don't have a system in place, if you don't have a set way that you study the Word of God, then your faithfulness to study, it may not stick or last. We're going to get more into detail about that next week. I promise you that. We're going to talk about the different methods how to study the Word. But so systematically, and then number six. Regularly, is you need to study the Word of God regularly. Okay, so here's what I mean by that. Regularly is this. You ought to have a set time and place where you study God's Word. A set time and a set place. Now, this is another one of those things. If you don't have it anchored, just like if you don't have a system anchored a set system of how you're going to study. If you don't have a set time and place, then sooner or later there'll be no time and place. If you're just doing it here, there, occasionally, whenever you got free time, that's the worst time to do it, because you never have free time, right? I mean, 24 hours in a day, and that ain't enough time to do it. So we really need about 26 or 28. And so you have to make time, and you have to make a place where you say, this is my time and my place, and that's where I'm going to. Now, I will say this about studying the Word of God. It's kind of like working out. Since I've come to Georgia, I've got out a workout routine. But when I worked out, I had a set time and a place. This is when I did it, and I have to do it during that time. And so I keep saying, just like some of you say about studying the Word of God, that I'm going to one day. And so I keep saying I'm going to get back into it one day. So when you drive down the road and you see some guy with an army backpack on, that's me and my 70 pounds of weights walking around the church property. It's not some terrorist. It's not some hobo. It's on the church, but don't call the law on me and all that stuff. That's me, and you're just going to know I got back in my workout routine. But here's what I found out, that when you work out every day, when you have a set time and set place, you do it every day, you can't wait to get there the next week or the next day. Like, you got to have it. You got to be there. But boy, you start missing, and it's hard to ever get back there. It's really hard to get back there. And so it is with the Word of God. If you get a set time and place, this is my time. This is when and where I'm going to do it at. Then every day you're going to look forward to that time and that place. And if you ever get out of it, well, it's hard to get back in. But if you get it set, then regularly, then you're going to be eager to get there each and every day to spend time with the Lord. Okay, next, submissively. Submissively. Now, I want to say this. When we go to the Word of God, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it goes to the innermost part of our being and has effect and effect, according to that verse we just read from Hebrews chapter 4. So, if we go to the Word of God and we approach the Word of God, and we're not willing to go there and be submissive to what the Word says, then we're not going to get anything from the Word of God. So we go submissively. We open up the Word and say, "Okay, Lord, change me. Make me a deeper disciple. Make me more like your Son, Jesus Christ." And we do that submissively. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There are times, both when I'm in the Word of God devotional time and when I hear preachers preaching from the Word, there's times when there are God's dealing with stuff that's hitting me right in sore spots, and I don't like it. And I don't like it at all, because it hurts and it's a sore spot. And that's where we need to be submissive and say, "Okay, Lord, you're dealing with me. You're dealing with me. You're speaking to me. I submit to what your Word says for my life." And I remember a time, I think I've told you, I shared with you, but I remember a time God was dealing with me on a verse. And it was strange, because it was just a strange time and a place where God clearly spoke to me about this verse. And I had been studying this verse. I had been praying this verse. There's something you ought to do. You ought to pray the Word of God. Pray through Scriptures. Elmer Towns has written a book on many, many books of the Bible. You need to look him up, Elmer Towns. He's wrote books on like how to pray through Psalms, how to pray through Romans, how to pray through Hebrews. I don't know where his series have all went to, but he's got a whole line of books on how to pray through through particular books of the Bible. But you ought to pray the Word of God. So I've been praying the Word of God. This one verse I'd been praying over and over and over. And in a strange time, a strange place, to make a story short, God dealt with me about the rest of the verse. God said, "Do you really mean what you've been praying?" I said, "Yes, I do, Lord." "Do you really want what you've been praying?" I said, "Yes, I do, Lord." And God said, "Well, go back and finish the rest of the verse." And I said, "There's the rest of a verse?" And he said, "I ought to know there is. I wrote the book." Are you with me tonight? Somebody say amen. And so I said, "Okay, Lord, let's go. I'll go check it out." And so I opened it back up, and there was the rest of the verse. God was right. And I didn't like the rest of the verse at all. And I would not submit to the rest of the verse. And I told the Lord I would not submit to the rest of the verse. I said, "Lord, I'll take the first half of the verse, but I don't want the last part. I won't do it. I simply will not do it." And so, long story short, God dealt with me and got. Now look, some of you looking at me like you always obey God. The first time he speaks, you jump. As soon as he calls, he doesn't have to call your name twice. He says it once. He gets one syllable out and you're up ready to report for duty, you liar. You don't do that. You rebel too. Well, you're looking at a rebellious preacher. So I said, "No, Lord, I won't. No, Lord, I won't." And God dealt with me, and God dealt with me, and God dealt with me, and I would not. And finally, one night in the middle of a service in a big camp meeting, the Lord started dealing with me about that again. And I said, "Lord, I'm not going to." And he dealt with me, and then I knew the seriousness of it. And I knew I couldn't be a rebellious son. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. If the next preacher that gets on that stage, like 30 preachers all week long, I guess, maybe 40 preaching all day long. I mean, they had preaching, I started at 8 o'clock in the morning, sometimes it ended at midnight, all day long. Brother Josh, they would have all the young preachers get on the stage. I don't know, they'd be about 10 or 12 of them get up there, and they'd have two-minute preaching. And for 2 minutes, these young preachers could turn loose and preach as hard as they wanted to for 2 minutes, and then, buddy, they's off the stage, and the next one was up. So preaching all day long, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do that. But here's what you got to do, Lord. You got to let the next preacher get up there, tell us to turn to that passage of Scripture, and he's got to preach on that one verse. Now, God, you're pretty smooth, but you pull that one off. Let's see you do it." I tell you the preacher's name. I'll have him come here if I can ever get him to come here. He got up behind the pulpit, and he opened his Bible, and he said, "Turn to that verse." I like to fell over dead. Of all the verses in the Bible, that preacher says, "Turn to that verse." And of course, I just surrender. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'll do it." And so we must be submissive as we come to the Word of God. And so here's what we've got to do. We've got to see who we are, and that's what the Word of God will do. It'll show you who you are. It'll show you a mirror of yourself, but it'll also show you a mirror of Christ, who you're supposed to be while you're in Christ. And so we are to be submissive to the Word of God. Whatever number I'm on now, I'm getting to the end, I know. We're to approach the Word of God eagerly. We eagerly approach the Word of God. Why? Because there's promises to claim. There's promises to claim. I've said this preaching, I'll say it again, and I'll probably say it preaching again, but you need to get in the Word of God simply to get you a promise that is your promise and a promise you can claim. Man, I'm telling you, God's got a word for you, and you're not going to, listen, when God's got a word for you, you ain't going to get it from me. I'm not going to get God's word from me, from you, but I got to get in the Word and find it, and you got to get in the Word and find it, but God's got promises for you, and you're going to need those promises. You're going to need those promises when days are good. You're going to need those promises when things are great, but you're going to need those promises when the bottom has fell out of life. You're going to need those promises, man, when there's nothing adding up, when everything's went wrong, and when you're about to lose it all, because you're going to find out one day that there's nothing in this life that's sure but the Word of God. The Word of God will last forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will last forever. And so you need to get in the Word eagerly to claim those promises. You should get in the Word next, thirstfully. You, if you've not figured it out yet, are a weary traveler in a dry and a dusty land. And the psalmist said that years ago. He was quite literal and spiritual when he wrote that. And friends, we live in a dry and a dusty land. This world will zap the life out of you. It will drain the energy out of you. It will suck the very life from within your bones if you let it. And so you ought to go to the Word of God thirsty and even hungry, if you will, that God would give you some manna from heaven that would satisfy the longings of your soul. And you'll see the Word of God will make such a difference in your life. Well, lastly, you ought to go to the Word of God thankfully. Thankfully. Here's what I'm thankful for about the Word of God. I'm thankful God didn't just save me and say, okay, now you're saved, you're one of my children, go out there and figure it all out on your own. I'm glad God saved me and then God said, here's my book. The Bible, the Word of God. I have not left you without direction. I have not left you without guidance. I have not left you without promises. I have not left you without the Word. Here is my Word that I have spoke to you, mankind. Take my Word and go and live and love the Word of God because it's my gift to you. And so we are to be thankful that we have the Word of God. I remember not long ago reading a book that was telling of a church meeting in China, I believe it was. And there in China, in this house meeting, they had to secretly meet in this basement of this house to have church because of persecution and because of government police that were watching just for such meetings. This is today, friends. This is happening today in parts of the world. And as they all gathered together in this basement, and having church in this secret meeting, so to speak, when they got down in there, then everybody pulls out one little page out of a Bible. And then they took that page and they passed it around. They all exchanged different parts of the Bible and left with different pages. Because you can hide a page of the Bible pretty easily, but you can't hide a Bible easily. And so they were having to meet like that. And I thought, Lord, we've never had to do that. These places in the world, so many places in the world, where they don't even have one Bible in their home. There's places in the world where they don't even have their native language yet translated in the Bible. Modern technology has vastly improved that, but there are still people groups who do not have copies of God's Word in their native language. And we've got that. We've got many things to be thankful for when we think about the Word of God. How many Bibles do you have at home? A bunch. 3 or 4, maybe 5. And so, let me ask you this. When you die and you stand before God in heaven and God says, "Have you read my book?" What are you going to say? "I've read a few verses. I've read a few chapters. I read through the Gospel of John." And God says, "There's 66 books. Have you read my book?" Listen, you know this as well as I do. 3 chapters in the Old Testament, 1 chapter in the New Testament each day, and you'll read through the whole Bible in a year. That's not a whole lot of reading each day. 3 chapters in the Old, 1 in the New, and you'll go through the Bible in a whole year. So in January, you can start it right now, but in January, if you start that, by the end of the year, you'll read through the Bible, and you can start over and read through it again, and read through it again, and read through it again. Now, we ought to leave here tonight thankful that God has given us His Word. He's given us the Bible. Now, let me say this. As I was thinking about the Word of God and being thankful for the Word of God, I think of some of the comments that I've heard about recent meetings here in this church, about these last weeks when so many people have been saved and God's just moved in a miraculous way. Do you know what caused all that? Do you know what caused the very hand of God to move upon Liberty Baptist Church? The single source that was the cause of all that God has done here in recent weeks. It was this little book right here. This little book right here caused it all. This is the guilty culprit right here. This is what caused so many people to rededicate their lives. It's what caused so many people to start coming to church who's not been to church in years and years. It's what caused so many people to fall under conviction and fall in an old-fashioned altar and be saved by the miraculous, wonderful, marvelous grace of God. It was all because of God's Word. We ought to be thankful. So, so thankful. That's how powerful the Word of God is. So I pray that you'll take those 10 approaches and that's how you will begin. That will be the attitudes that you take on as you begin to commit yourself to be a deeper disciple of Jesus Christ. I do remember, and I believe I've told you this, but that's just one of the things that happened to the same pastor, same preacher every week. You'd hear the same story over and over sometimes. But is this church or another church? I don't remember. But I was at Fruitland, Josh, with a man who had been all of his life, most of his life, a full-blown practicing Jew. He was Jewish. He began developing marital problems, and as a result of those marital problems, he began drinking. He began drinking very heavily. He began gambling, and then he became addicted to pornography in the process of all of this. And through all of these struggles, he kept going back to his faith, the Jewish faith. He kept going back to his faith. Now remember, they don't believe in they don't believe that Jesus has come the first time. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come the first time. Hallelujah, He's already come the first time. We're about to celebrate His birth here in just a few months. We're waiting on Him to come the next time to take the church home with Him. So they don't believe He's coming. They're still waiting on that. But he kept turning back to his faith, hoping that his faith would rescue him from these tragic times he was going through. And he said that every time he'd go back to his faith would leave him dead and lifeless and void and empty, and his troubles would increase and multiply. He would fall right back into the same stuff he had began dabbling in. And so he finally made his way to a hotel one night and checked into a hotel. He took a pistol with him where he was going to, and a pint of vodka, where he was going to drink that pint of vodka and he was going to kill himself. And he said in that hotel there was a Bible. And he said he saw that Bible and he said it immediately, he thought of his faith, and he got furious and angry because of how his faith had failed him, how it had left him so empty and void. And he said he grabbed that Bible and he slung it on the floor, and when it hit the floor, he kicked it over against the wall. And he said when it hit the wall, he said it fell open. And he looked and he said there was red writing in that Bible. And he had never seen red writing before in a Jewish Bible. See, they don't have the New Testament. And that's the words of Jesus. And so he went over and he picked that up and he began to read all of the red words that he could find. And he was saved. And after he was saved, he was called into the ministry by the Lord. And he has started a ministry to Jews, Brother Josh, to his people who were worshiping and living in a dead religion. Friends, listen to me. That's the power of God's Word. You understand? There was no preacher there for him. There was no evangelist. There was no gospel track. There was the Word of God, which is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So I pray that you are falling in love with the Word of God from Sunday to Sunday as we stand and preach. But I pray that personally you will take these next few weeks and you will ask God to give you an insatiable desire to get in His Word. And you will approach it as we've talked tonight with an attitude that we've mentioned tonight so that you will become a deeper believer in Jesus Christ. And as a result of being a deep disciple, you're going to be strong in Jesus, strong in Him. Stand with us tonight. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do give you glory. And Father, we're thankful that you are seated in heaven at the Father's right hand. Father, we thank you for saving us, for calling us unto the ministry, for, Lord, just letting us be a disciple of Jesus. And Lord, I know there's been so much of my life, Lord, when we didn't, when we were not in the Word and we had forsaken the Word, and Lord, we just left the Word altogether. Father, tonight, oh, our great prayer is that, Lord, you will give us an insatiable desire that, God, we will have a hunger in our soul for a word from you. And, Father, I pray will be of such that, Lord, even hearing a preacher will not be enough for us. Even hearing teaching on the radio will not be enough for us. I pray it will become so personal to us that, Lord, we will have to run every day to the Word of God, that the Word of God will just get in us and we, as we get in the Word, and that the Word will make us deeper and stronger in Jesus, and it'll increase our faith. And, Father, we pray that when you see us, that, God, you will be well pleased because we are aligning our life to the Word of God. And, Father, we thank you for leaving us your Word. And God, I know for now we live in the land of the free, and that, Lord, we have Bibles available to us at every hand and every corner. But, Lord, it's not always been that way in history. And, Father, there's no guarantee that in days to come that Lord, we'll still have access to your Word. And so, Lord, for now we give you thanksgiving and praise that we do live under the banner of the red, white, and blue. And, God, anytime we want to pick up your Word, we can pick it up and study. We come to the house of God and proclaim the Word without fear of arrest or persecution. So, God, we should cherish the Word. It's a sacred thing, and, Lord, we give you honor for it. Thank you, Lord. And so, God, touch your children that's here tonight. And I pray tonight, Lord, we leave here with resolved determination to pick up our Bible at home, and get in the Word, anxious to hear what you would say to us, your servants. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Love somebody. Hug them.